Hi guys, and welcome back to the Rare Wellness Podcast, the podcast designed to help you heal holistically and give you the tools that you need to thrive. Whether it's medicine, wellness, or overall vitality, we're inspiring you to be 1% better every day and empower you with the tools that you need to get closer to your goals and your dreams and thrive. Part of building the life that you want to build and achieving all of your dreams is overcoming your limiting beliefs and creating a mindset that gives you space for enduring the work that's required and a mindset that allows you to thrive in your life. We all grow up having crazy dreams and hopefully audacious goals, especially as kids. But somehow as we grow up, many of us stop pushing our limits and believing in what's possible, maybe because of comments that you receive that you'll never be good enough or that your dreams are impossible. And then you stop dreaming and you start developing limiting beliefs that prevent you from creating the life that you want. To get past that and build the life that we want, we have to start tackling them one by one. Doing hard things, sticking to it when the going gets tough, and finding ways to push through when our minds and our bodies want to give up. Overcoming all those things is something that a group of people called ultra marathon runners do on a regular basis to accomplish extraordinary feats like running 100 miles and competing in multi-day races, dealing with so many challenges like fatigue, hunger, extreme discomfort, so that they can achieve their dreams. So today we're going to be having a guest on that does that and more, whose story will inspire us and empower us to break our limits and do more. We're going to be learning how to do that from a person who pushes his limits on a regular basis to achieve the extraordinary. Today, our guest is Joe Corcione, who is an ultra running coach, athlete, and podcast host who went from no running background in college or high school to placing top 10 at one of the most competitive 100-mile races in the United States. He's also completed over 20 ultra marathons, including the Cocodona 250-miler, several 100-milers, 50-milers, and 50Ks. He has helped to coach over 40 athletes to hit their ultra running goals, and his podcast, Everyday Ultra, has ranked among the top 10 running podcasts in over 5 countries. His philosophy is that you can become anything that you want to become as long as you're willing to put in the work and learn, and his driving message is to inspire others that it's possible. Welcome, Joe. Thank you so much for taking time out of your crazy busy schedule to do this with me. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me, Nathalia. And I will say, like, your intro, just talking about all the things with belief and dealing with the negative voice inside of our heads, and even going from, you know, having that childhood, you know, fantasies and just like big thinking and chasing the dreams, and how that can get twisted and corroded through like all of like conditioning and negative programming along the way. Like, that is, I think, the crux of the thing that you said it best is, you know, what drives a lot of people, not just to do ultra marathons, but to do hard things. And I think, like, it is one of those things whether, you know, I know obviously, you know, we're talking a lot here about ultra marathoning, but like, I see that in life. It's like, if you want to start a business, if you want to, you know, get that loving relationship, if you want to, you know, be financially free, like if you want to run an ultra, whatever you want to do, like, it really starts with tackling those beliefs. So like, I just love everything you said about that beginning. And I think that's, when people ask me like why I do what I do, like that is the whole line. And obviously, you know, we can go into that, but I just wanted to say like how much you were so on the head with that intro.
Oh my, thank you. I've always loved, like, I've been fascinated by the concept of like dreaming. And I just feel like that's something that like as adults we lose so easily. Like, you talk to people and so many people are just afraid to even vocalize like what those things that they want to achieve in life are. Because I mean, I get it. Like, we all face with it. You go to do something, you fall on your face, and it's like, it takes resilience. Like, and it's hard to build that. It's hard to get back up, especially like life is hard enough as it is. And if you don't have that supportive community and that team that's like helping you do that, which is why I love podcasts like this, because hearing someone else's story and like seeing someone else overcome their journeys and their challenges is like just the best like motivator for like, I can do that too. So, so I'm like, I'm just so excited to chat today. I feel like there's so much we can get into. Okay, before we even start, for people listening who maybe aren't very familiar with ultra running in general, explain to us like what qualifies as an ultra marathon and what does that look like?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And I think, you know, I think a lot of times when people think about like running to the distance, even when I was growing up, like I thought like the pinnacle of the distance was the marathon, right? We all know about the marathon. I think everybody knows about it nowadays. Like, it's like 26.2 miles. Like, and for years, like I thought like that was the pinnacle. And I know a lot of people like to the day, like think like that's like the farthest you can kind of run. But
it's anything that's possible.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's all that's possible. Now, ultra marathon is anything that is over 26.2 miles. Right. Now, usually the standard distance that usually is the first kind of next level up is a 50K, which sounds pretty big, but really, I mean, it is only like, what, 5 or 6 miles more. It's 31 mm-hmm. miles. So it's still not that much, but ultra marathons can go anywhere from 50K to 50 miler to 100K, which is 62 miles, to 100 miles, and even 200 plus miles nowadays, and even a 300 miler, which I'm actually doing next year. So like, basically, ultra marathon is anything over 26.2, but it's usually a lot bigger than 26.2. Most of these events also happen on trails. So they mostly happen like in the woods, in the backcountry, like usually in like remote places. There are some ultra marathons that are on road and, you know, in the city and things like that. But most of them take place on trails all across. And, you know, it's interesting because over the past like few years, like there's just kind of been this explosion in ultra running that it's just gotten more and more and more popular. And, you know, it's so interesting because like now when I first started, like I would tell people that I would do this and people would be like, oh my God, like, are you going to die? And like, now I'm getting more people who like, be like, oh, like, have you done like Leadville or like their name and like races? And I'm like, whoa, like this is like,
how do you know about this?
Like, here's a thing. Yeah.
Okay. So talking about the, like that, that concept, you said like, you're going to die. We're going to talk about how you started to do this.
Yeah.
But before, like, and even now, Did you get a lot of like pushback from people of like, that's not healthy for you, or you're gonna die, or like, did you really get a lot of those comments when you started? And did anyone in your family, like, were you surrounded by runners? Did you know anyone who did an ultra? Like, how did you start?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll tell you, to this day, I still get people who message me and like will talk to me and be like, that's not healthy. You're like, your knees are going to be bad, which, by the way, there are actually studies that do show that running actually is good for your knees. So I won't dive into that, but I have that in my back pocket in case anyone says like my knees.
He's ready for this argument.
I'm ready. Yeah. Like, I've heard that comment way too many times, but anyways, all that being said, like, mm-hmm. when I grew up, I mean, I was not surrounded by runners or anything like that. And I played like no sports growing up. And even like the friends that I hung out with, I mean, growing up, I was like the video game kid. Like my idea of a good time was like, going through school, going home, and then like playing like video games for like hours and hours on it. And,
I would
like,
never guess that.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Just completely different. And I mean, I was very unathletic. Like, I was the kid at gym class that was always like picked last for any pickup game. Like, people would throw footballs to me because they would laugh at like how weird I would look like trying to catch a football. Like, I mean, it was like, I was just completely unathletic. And, you know, my sisters didn't really play sports. And like, my sisters did a lot of dancing, but not really like team sports. Mm-hmm. My dad, he did play a lot of like baseball, like growing up, but and he played softball in his later years, but not a runner. And my mom didn't run either, too. So, and none of my friends were runners either, like nobody. So I had like no inclination and background on running, which was nuts. Now, I will tell you, I was always fascinated by the concept of running. Like, I knew people who would do marathons and like either just in the town or like, I remember at the time, like this girl I was dating, like her uncle did like an Ironman, which those mm-hmm. aren't familiar, is 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike ride, and 26.2 mile run all in one day, back to back to back. I remember the first time hearing that, like, I couldn't even comprehend it. Like, my brain was like, what? Like, how do you possibly do that? And he was like 50 something years old too, which like, I was like, what the hell? So all that being said, like, it was just like such a foreign concept to me. And I didn't like exercise. Like, I never like enjoyed it. I never enjoyed sports, not just because I didn't like the feeling, but like, honestly, I was just very insecure growing up. And I think like a big thing for me was because I was so bad at sports and unathletic and everything like that, it like led to this belief to me to say like, yeah, you're unathletic. That's just who you are. Yeah. And that was kind of the mindset I had growing up as a kid, was this fixed mindset, right? And so I had this belief that like who I was defined, you know, what I was going to be for the rest of my life. And that not only transpired into, you know, not wanting to do sports or anything like that too, but, you know, eventually down the line, it did develop me to go into hard drugs. And I mean, so I have ADHD, was diagnosed like when I was a kid, I was put onto Adderall. And basically, I got to the point where I was abusing it, like taking way mm-hmm. more than prescribed amount. I mean, just like, and also supplementing with other drugs as well, mostly because I had the belief that this was who I was and I could not be a functional person in society or happy without using drugs, because I was just messed up. And that led me in college to essentially just dive into that a lot deeper. I went to a big party school at Penn State. And so I was in a fraternity. So it's just easy to keep fueling that thing. And the more that I used, the more that I drank, the more that I started to go down the line of like drugs and stuff. Like I thought like, I was like, yeah, like this is what I have to do to live a good life. But the more empty I kind of felt inside subconsciously, and it really just came to a point, lot of details aside, but I quit my job working on Wall Street. I moved back in with my parents. Like I was dating a girl that I thought I was going to date for 4 years, and she left me, and I was like on the floor of my, it was low point in my life. And I was like on the floor in my childhood room in my parents' house, just like looking up at the ceiling. And I was just like, I need to change or else like I'm going to die before I'm 30. And at this time, I think it was like 22, 23. So like super, super young. And so I knew that what I needed to do was get sober because I had dealt with addiction. I mean, basically, I'd been addicted for Adderall for like 10 years. And so I knew I had to get sober. So I literally just typed online, like Google, I was like, how to get sober. And
I love that.
A lot of the things that came up were like, move your body, exercise, everything like that. And I was like, all right, well, like, maybe I'll give it a try. Why not? And I didn't have a gym membership and I was self-conscious about going to the gym because like I knew I had that self-limiting belief. But I knew I was like, you know what, let me lace up the shoes and run. And I went out and ran and it was like maybe a quarter mile. I was like wheezing, like my legs were sore. Like I was just so nuts. But there was something like that unlocked behind me. It was like, wow, like you did that. And it really didn't come to my conscious forefront after, I read a lot of books and a lot of self-help and like went to workshops and seminars and invested in coaches and things like that. But basically like what that run showed me and what the thing that it was like, you weren't a runner before this, but like you just ran a quarter of a mile. And even though like that doesn't qualify as like a marathon or anything like that, like you went out and did it. And there was something freeing about that. Even though it was hard, I showed myself that I did it and I showed myself that I can become something. So once I developed this belief, like through, running a little further every day, I realized that you can become anything you want to as long as you're willing to put in the work and learn. And that's when I made the shift from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset, right? The fixed mindset, like I said before, is who you are today is what you think you're fixed and you cannot change that for the rest of your life. You're not athletic. You're not charismatic. You're not smart. You're not an entrepreneur. Like if you're born that way, that's how you're going to be. That's BS. The brain is plastic. It's elastic. It can actually go ahead and make neurochemical changes based on when you put it through stress. So therefore, at that time, I was trying to build the belief, not only can I go from unathletic to being a runner, but most importantly, can I go from someone who maybe can't handle life sober to someone who can handle life sober? And running was a vehicle that helped me to understand that I could do that. As I saw the distances stack up, I was able to take less and less drugs a day. So to the point like where I'd finished my first half marathon, that was around the time where I got sober and, 7 years since, being completely sober since then and, ran multiple ultras and 250 milers and everything. So like, I don't run just to run. Like I run because I genuinely believe it builds that belief that you can do anything. And like, you don't have to run ultras to do this. You just got to do hard things. Like you gotta push yourself. You got to challenge yourself. And if you want to become something, like you can put in the work to do it. And like, but you got to be willing to learn. It's a hard process, but anyone can do it. And anyways, that was a long-winded answer, but that's what got me.
That was fantastic. I feel like there's so much to talk about even within that. But one of the first things that comes to mind is like movement is so healing. Like movement is medicine. That's like one of my favorite phrases. And it's crazy to see like firsthand how that literally was like the best treatment plan that you can go on is like movement. And second, coming back to like talking about that first half a mile or quarter of a mile that you did where you were like wheezing or whatever, like something that's so beautiful about it is like, you don't have to be the fastest one. You don't have to necessarily compete against someone else's time, obviously, like unless you're a pro athlete who's trying to do that, but like it's you against you every single day. And like to be a runner, you just have to lace up your shoes, get out there and do it. And like, that is such an empowering, like you were saying earlier, like the impact of what, like obviously the physical benefits that it has, our bodies were designed to run it. Like look at our ancestors, right? That was their main form of transportation, was their own bodies. But beyond the physical benefits and the health benefits and the heart benefits, it's like that mindset shift, like you talked about, is just so powerful.
Yeah.
Today's episode is sponsored by Rare Planet Health Supplements. I am such a firm believer in making sure that our body gets the nutrition that it needs for optimal physical performance, brain performance, and overall mood and vitality in life. Rare Planet Health has several different supplements that I have been integrating into my routine and that I highly recommend. But the one that I really want to talk about today is Rise. Rise is a dietary supplement that is a multivitamin, a probiotic, and also is formulated to help boost mental clarity. Whether you're an entrepreneur or you just want to be the best that you can at whatever it is that you're doing in life, this supplement is a great addition to your wellness routine. The bottle is super cute, which makes it really easy to integrate into your routine every morning, and it's designed to help strengthen your attention span with vitamins to help up your mental game, which I think in a digital era, we can all use. By combining a multivitamin and a probiotic, you can combat mental and bodily fatigue with a single supplement. It also provides support for intermittent fasting, improving your energy and productivity while decreasing your food cravings, if that's something that you practice, and has a large dose of vitamin A and B12, which will help your organs, nerves, and red blood cells remain healthy, as well as your skin and hair. The capsules are super easy to swallow, and each bottle contains 60 capsules, which should last you 1 to 2 months. They also offer a premium fish oil, which if you've listened to any of our episode with functional nutritionists and functional medicine doctors, as well as women hormone optimization, fish oil and omega-3s are so important for vitality and a healthy diet. They also have Ageless, which is a stem cell, joint, and tendon support supplement, and a few more on there. You can get your supplements at rareplanethealth.com and use code RAREWellnessPodcast10 at checkout for a discount on your supplements. Again, that's rareplanethealth.com. Use code RAREWellnessPodcast for 10% off on your supplement purchase. This podcast is also sponsored by Rare Wellness Med Spa and Wellness Studio. Rare Wellness is a space where you can connect to yourself and get all the tools that you need to thrive and heal and be your best self. Whether you're looking for premium yoga, bar, or movement classes, functional medicine, aesthetic services, massage services, IV hydration therapy, and more, Rare Wellness is the place for you. To get 10% off any service at Rare, use code RAREWellnessPodcast. You can book at rarewellness.com or the MindBody app. Lastly, this podcast is sponsored by NWC4RM.com, Northwest Center for Regenerative Medicine. If you're looking to reduce pain and avoid surgery, this might be the solution for you. Get back to the activities you love without surgery with regenerative medicine. Regenerative medicine is a non-surgical orthopedic procedure for joint pain, arthritis, and injuries. If you want to learn more about regenerative medicine and if this might be the solution for you so that you can avoid those surgeries and continue to get back to the activities you love operating at full capacity, go to NWC4RM.com. Regardless of where you are in the country, you can book your appointment there and do an online consultation so that you can see if this is the right fit for you. Receive a free info packet by going to NWC4RM.com and just entering your email, and you will receive more information to learn more. All right, let's head back to the episode. So you start running. It has this transformative impact on you. That first ultra, like, who was it that told you about, like, that first ultra marathon? And was it, yeah, like, what was that journey like of, I'm going to do this? Do you remember the moment?
Yeah, I actually do remember the moment, which is so funny because, like, I always think about this, like, anytime I... You know, because sometimes along your journey, you almost forget how much progress you made, right? And yeah. So the first time I had ever really heard about ultra distances, it was really two kind of different parts. The first part was, so when I first started doing my races and things like that, like, it was all in, like, the obstacle course, Spartan race, like, that kind of stuff.
Love that.
The reason why I wanted to do that was because I also was lifting weights at the time, and I was like, oh, like, you know, this seems a little bit more fun. Like, it seems like a little bit more fun than just running, because I didn't really love running at the time. Like, it was more what it got me, but, like, I was like, oh, like, this kind of breaks it up and makes it a little bit more fun. And I remember the first one that I ever signed up for was, like, a 5K, like, Spartan race, 5K. And I remember there and, like, walking in, and they had this, like, giant, like, sign over there, and huge sign, and it was interesting. The visual was like a mountain that was, like, climbing up a slope, and on the slope there was, like, little peaks, and each of the peaks was different distances. So the lowest peak on there was the 5K that I was about to do, and I looked at all this stuff. It went from 5K to 10K to half marathon to ultra. And I was like, what the heck is the ultra? And someone was there who was, like, doing this stuff for years and stuff like that. I was like, what's the ultra? And they're like, oh, yeah, you run, like, a 50K. I was like, what? Like a 50K? Like what? What? Like, and they're like, yeah, it's 31 miles. I was like, what the heck? Like, that's crazy. Like, that was insane to me because, like, that was the first time I had ever heard of something past like a marathon. Mm-hmm. And it was so interesting because I did that 5K. I could not even walk the next day. At the time, I was bartending, like, just to, like, make ends meet and everything like that. And, like, my boss had to send me home because, like, I literally was limping around the next day. He was like, you are look ridiculous. And you got to go
He's
home.
Like, go home, rest.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, like if that was me in 3 miles, like I can't even imagine 30 miles. But I thought to myself, I was like, you know what? Like I went from 0 to 3, like maybe I could eventually go there, but let me just focus on the next task at hand and like think about climbing that mountain. So like, even though the ultra was there, like it really wasn't like the big thing at the time. I was like, I just want to get to that 10K. And that's what I did. I just built from the 10K to the half marathon. And then I was like, okay, now I'm ready for this ultra. And so me and my cousin and one of my best friends, and we did the 10K together. Like we had said, we're going to do this ultra together. And it was all of our first ultras. And like, we were super excited. And like during that process, like I wanted to like get into the mindset of like what it means to be an ultra marathon. And that's when I read this book called Born to Run, which is like a very popular book that like in the ultra marathon community, but it talked about like these 100-mile races and these 135-mile races in like 120-degree heat. And I was like, oh my God, like I'm just scratching the surface. I'm getting chills right now. And I thought to myself, I was like, maybe is this my future? Like, is this what I can do? And that started to plant the seed and just kind of build it in. So like, it's like this whole world was just unlocked for me. And so that first ultra was the Spartan Ultra in Hawaii in August. And it was a 50K and it was, that was brutal, let me tell you.
Well, first of all, going from, you know, I feel like for so many people, like going back to limiting beliefs, people listening, like so often will sit there and be like, well, I could never run a 50K. Like those people are just built differently than me. And it, I feel like it's like so encouraging to know, like, you had a day one, like you had a day when you were like struggling too. And it's just like, I feel like on so many levels, what you mentioned about tackling each like small step at a time applies so much to like every area of life. Like maybe someone listening right now is wondering like, okay, I have this huge vision for my life that maybe I've given up on, or maybe I just didn't know was possible, maybe because nobody else around me has like showed me the way, has showed me the path. But it's like, take that like one spoonful at a time. Like I love that you said that. And it sounds like from when you read that book and you started embracing yourself in that community, like sometimes seeing someone else do it is so inspiring. Do you remember some of like the key people that, some of the key people that on your journey, like helped you shift your mindset? Was it, you mentioned that book, like, was there more?
Yeah. I mean, there's two kind of like big pivotal figures that kind of like played a role in my life. Like one more on like the mindset kind of thing. And then one on like the specific running kind of side of things. So on the mindset specific thing, as I mentioned before, like when I was running, I was like, you know, reading a lot of books and everything. Like the person, and this is also a really good tip, by the way, because I think sometimes you're like having like mentors and like people in their life. I say like in the age of information, you can have any mentor that you want. Like literally any mentor. Like if you like, you know, really like want to build like a music career and like you like aspire to be Beyonce, like I think Beyonce has like a book or like whatever, like you can listen to interviews, like you can get indirectly mentored by these people. So at the time, like for me, and again, like I was kind of a piece of crap, like for lack of better words, like I didn't really know too many people and I kind of had deaded a lot of the relationships. So for me, like the first book that I picked up was Unlimited Power by Tony Robbins. And like that, he was, and listen, there's some people who like him, some people hate him, but at the time, like what really resonated with me, I picked up that book just off of a whim. And he starts the book talking about how he grew up and he was overweight, he was poor, he was abused as a kid, like he was so depressed, he had blown all of his money. And then he like also makes like a like within like a paragraph talks about how he's like in a helicopter driving to like a seminar with his wife that he loves, seeing like a line of cars like on the freeway, like going to see him out there, and he's like living his dream. And in my head I was like, holy crap, like how did that guy go from that to that? And like whether or not that's true or not, like whatever, I'm not saying he's like a liar or anything, but like, you know, because some people would be like, eh, you can write anything.
Totally.
But regardless, like the story like rang true to me. And I was like, whoa, like this guy had a way worse background than I have right now. And like he became him. So it's like there may be a possibility with running. And I know this is someone who also has a lot of like, you know, some people love
him. I feel like everyone has.
Yeah, I guess you could say that about everyone. Yeah. But it's kind of almost like a classic cliche thing in ultra running, but I did read David Goggins' book, Can't Hurt Me. For those who aren't familiar, David Goggins, he's a Navy SEAL. Like, he's gone through like Navy SEAL Hell Week, Air Force Ranger training, and a pararescue Air Force training. Like, I think, which not a lot of people have done, like, all three, and he's like done all three. But that's not the most amazing thing. Like, he's also run 100 miles. He's run like tons of ultras. But the thing that makes it extraordinary is he came from a background 300 pounds. He lived in an abusive household. He was super poor. He was 300 pounds twice. He lost all the weight and then got it back and then lost it again and became this person. And like, I read that and I was like, if this guy can become that, like, holy crap, I can become anything. And so like, those are the things that ran true for me. And like, that's always like my suggestion to anyone who thinks that they can't do it. It doesn't, like, I get it. Like, it's going to be hard to believe it, but like, when you can see someone else doing it and try to dispel the notion that like, oh, they have better genetics, or like, oh, they have like an endowment that they could like start this business on, like, whatever. Like, there are people who haven't been born in those situations, like David Goggins, like Tony Robbins. And like, you can like understand that it's like, oh, this is so much more than just the resources they have. It's the resourcefulness and how they're willing to change their mindset and beliefs and through that process. And so, for me in my running journey, like you mentioned in the beginning, like with the bio, like, you know, finishing top 10 at Javelina 100, which is the race that's like the competitive thing. For me, like, yes, I do like to be competitive, but it's not because I want to be competitive. The reason why I do that is because I had this hypothesis where I was like, okay, if I can go from like zero to like finishing 100 miles, can I go from like zero to like winning 100 miles? Like, heck, like maybe like competing at like a grand stage. And the point is not to win. The point is to say, I'm like, hey, if I can go from this kid who is made fun of in gym class, belittled every single day because I couldn't catch a ball, to getting sore as hell after my first 5K, to going top 10, 100 miles, and I'm not genetically gifted at all, like, I tell you, anyone in my family will tell you that, then I promise you, you can do anything you want to do. And like, that is like my driving thing. So I try to be like, not like David Goggins or not like Tony. They're, I think everyone's different.
Like you.
But I hope, yeah, I want to be like me, but I'm hoping people see this and be like, oh, I can do that.
Okay, so I want to talk about all of your accomplishments with ultra running, but I would be really curious, that first race, that first time that you ran, I don't know, was it a 30 miler? Like, what was your first ultra marathon? What was that experience like? What challenges did you face? What did that look like?
So many challenges, let me tell you. I mean, like, it's so funny because at the time, like, I had no idea like what I was doing. Like, I had gotten some random training plan like off the internet. I didn't know anything about how the body worked. I didn't know anything about physiological adaptation. I didn't know anything about like nutrition, but I tried to learn as much as I could, right? And like, I tried to read books and everything like that, but I just said, hey, I'm just gonna just go out and train and do this. And you know, there was never really a doubt in my training that I could do it. But the thing is, when the day came, like, I remember, like, so by the way, this course was very hot. I mean, it's in Hawaii, totally exposed, super humid. It's in August in Hawaii too. It has like, I think it had 7,000 feet of climbing in 30 miles. And I lived in Wisconsin at the time, which basically is like dead flat. So all that being said, like, there was a lot of challenges in there. And basically the way that the course is it does like two loops of 15 miles and you go through like the same course twice. We did the first loop and I remember just moving so slow up this mountain, and like, there was river crossings, and like, we were just moving really, really slow. And I'll never forget this moment. And I was like feeling okay. Like, you know, I was like moving as much as I can, but we get to this one obstacle that's over there. And I just said like, hey man, like, are we going to be like good with like the time limits? And he's like, oh yeah, like, you guys are going to be totally good. And I was like, oh sweet. And he's like, you guys are on your second loop, right? And I was like, no, like, we're on loop one. And he's like, oh, well then you better hurry. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, I'm just telling you, you got to keep going. And so at that point we were like, whoa, like, it was just kind of a shock out of nowhere. And we literally get to like the next cutoff point, like 15 minutes before like they start cutting people off. And I remember getting to that moment and being in there, going to the next obstacle, thinking in my head, I was like, oh my God, like, I told all these people that I was going to do this. Like, I like trained so much for this. And like, here it is. Like, I'm literally 10 minutes away from this thing just being completely over and big failure and everything like that too. And I remember I was with my cousin and my friend, and like, we were all getting emotional, like, just kind of being like, oh my gosh, like, we can't even believe it was there. But I told myself just like one thing in the moment, because at the time, like, I had this voice in my head that was coming in and saying like, you can't get the cutoff. You can't move fast. You move so slow in that first thing. How are you going to move even faster with 15 miles later down the road? Like, all that stuff's impossible. And at the time, I had this voice that was just going. And then something in my head just changed. And number one, I realized, I said, you know what? Like, this voice that's in my head, that's not me. Like, that is my brain trying to keep me safe. That is my negative beliefs trying to creep in right now and trying to get me lesser to the point that I am right now. And so number one, what I did was I detached myself from the negative voice in my head, which for anyone listening, if you ever have those negative thoughts or anything, that's not you. And the reason why I know that's not you, because let me ask even you, Nathalia, and everyone listening too, like, have you had the thought that you're not good enough? Have you had the thought 100%. That you can't do it? Have you had the thought that, like, you can't accomplish the thing you're doing? Have you had those thoughts before, right?
All the time. Like, right. even as I'm doing it, there's that voice.
Yes, 100%. So if you have those thoughts, and everybody listening who's also said, yes, I've had those thoughts, if we're all having these thoughts, how can they be our individual thoughts? How is that even possible, right? So knowing that it's the mind and not your mind that is trying to keep you safe at that moment, because think about it, an ultra marathon, you're 15 miles in, your legs are tired, you're sweating like crazy, you're losing a lot of electrolytes, your body wants you to stop because it thinks you're going to die, but you're not going to die. And so you have to detach yourself. So I detach myself in the moment. And then I move into the next thing, which is like, you need to switch your focus, right? Your focus determines how you perceive a situation, right? Think about when you're on a plane. If you're on a plane and there's turbulence and you're someone who totally believes that turbulence means the plane's going to go down, you're going to freak out. But if you're another person that believes turbulence is just normal and you've done this before and it's no big deal, that person's not going to sweat. Same exact situation, different perspective, different focus, therefore different reaction. So I said, okay. Instead of focusing on the rest of this 15 miles, all I need to do is just make it to that next aid station. And that's it. And I asked myself one question, like, because in my head it was like, you can't do this. I changed that to the question of, well, let's see if I can do this. Mm-hmm. And that difference, right? Because a lot of people say, I can do this. But the problem is you put a lot of pressure on yourself there. You're like, oh, like, there's a lot of pressure here. But if you open it up and saying like, well, let's see what happens, then your brain's like, okay. Let's see what happens. And you open with this curiosity and this things like that. And I found that we got to the aid station, 10 minutes left to go. Boom. Great. Got to the next aid station. And oh, great. Now we're making up time. 15 minutes. We got to go up this big climb and maybe we knocked off a little bit, 5 minutes on the next aid station. We'll go ahead on 10. And as we kept going and going and going, I got stronger because I showed myself in those moments, even as my legs got sore, even if I had this blister that was the size of a half dollar on my toe, that was just the most extreme pain. I had chafing in my inner thighs that like was just unbelievably painful. I can't even describe it to this day. And all that being said, even though I was getting more beat up, I was getting stronger because I was showing myself that I can be stronger in those moments. And 11 hours in, pitch black at night, I'm there with my cousin and my friend. And we crossed that finish line. And I was like, we did that. And let me tell you, like 6 hours ago, we thought we couldn't do it. But dang it, here we are. And that like, moment to me is like, even though it was like my slowest ultra, even though it was just like, you know, we barely made it. Like,
you did it.
Yeah.
Well, and I love what you're saying. Like, I had a coach that used to tell me wins like beget wins. Like small wins create bigger wins. And and like you said, like setting that's such a good strategy of like setting attainable goals of like, I just need to make it to the next aid station is a lot less overwhelming than I need to run like 20 more miles. On top of that, I feel like I'm going to like be re-listening to this so many times and like writing down notes and being like, but like your mindset really does manifest your reality. And so much of like, okay, maybe in like ultra running or in endurance sports, like your mind can endure so much more than like your body can endure more than your mind thinks it can. And so like so much of it is like mental. I am by no means a consistent runner, but I've done like, I've done races here and there throughout growing up. And I love like stretching my mind and like doing hard things. And endurance sports was one of those things for me. And so I remember my first, I had signed up for a marathon, like I had signed up for a marathon like 2 years in a row, had paid for it and hadn't done it just because like I wasn't training enough to do it. And both years I wasted my money, threw it away. The third year, same thing happened. But I was like, you know what? This time, like there's a part of me that's like afraid of doing this. So I was like, I'm just going to do it. Did not have enough training, but I remember going out there and just realizing like I was like testing my own hypothesis of like, if I tell my mind that I can do it, even though my body is clearly not prepared for this race, like, can I make it? And that was like double what I had run. And I think the max I had run was like 14 miles before that race and not even like remotely in the time span. So I genuinely probably should not have put my, I don't know, you as a coach are probably, you tell me. I think people should train for the races. I just didn't. And when I went though, it was crazy because like your body feels like it wants to give up, but my mind was just like one foot in front of the other. And like, if I tell myself that like, if you tell yourself that this is like this crazy impossible feat, then it feels crazy and impossible. But if you like trick your own brain into thinking that like you can do it, you'd be surprised at what you can actually do. And then like that applies to so much more, like tackling that in a race will translate to so many other areas of your life. And I love hearing your story of like that, like if you think you can't do it, regardless of whether you're in a race or wherever else, like just get to that next aid station, like take that next small step. Today's episode is sponsored by Rare Planet Health Supplements. I am such a firm believer in making sure that our body gets the nutrition that it needs for optimal physical performance, brain performance, and overall mood and vitality in life. Rare Planet Health has several different supplements that I have been integrating into my routine and that I highly recommend. But the one that I really want to talk about today is Rise. Rise is a dietary supplement that is a multivitamin, a probiotic, and also is formulated to help boost mental clarity. Whether you're an entrepreneur or you just want to be the best that you can at whatever it is that you're doing in life, this supplement is a great addition to your wellness routine. The bottle is super cute, which makes it really easy to integrate into your routine every morning, and it's designed to help strengthen your attention span with vitamins to help up your mental game, which I think in a digital era, we can all use. By combining a multivitamin and a probiotic, you can combat mental and bodily fatigue with a single supplement. It also provides support for intermittent fasting, improving your energy and productivity while decreasing your food cravings, if that's something that you practice, and has a large dose of vitamin A and B12, which will help your organs, nerves, and red blood cells remain healthy, as well as your skin and hair. The capsules are super easy to swallow, and each bottle contains 60 capsules, which should last you 1 to 2 months. They also offer a premium fish oil, which if you've listened to any of our episode with functional nutritionists and functional medicine doctors, as well as women hormone optimization, fish oil and omega-3s are so important for vitality and a healthy diet. They also have Ageless, which is a stem cell, joint, and tendon support supplement, and a few more on there. You can get your supplements at rareplanethealth.com and use code RAREWellnessPodcast10 at checkout for a discount on your supplements. Again, that's rareplanethealth.com. Use code RAREWellnessPodcast for 10% off on your supplement purchase. This podcast is also sponsored by Rare Wellness Med Spa and Wellness Studio. Rare Wellness is a space where you can connect to yourself and get all the tools that you need to thrive and heal and be your best self. Whether you're looking for premium yoga, bar, or movement classes, functional medicine, aesthetic services, massage services, IV hydration therapy, and more, Rare Wellness is the place for you. To get 10% off any service at Rare, use code RAREWellnessPodcast. You can book at rarewellness.com or the MindBody app. Lastly, this podcast is sponsored by NWC4RM.com. Northwest Center for Regenerative Medicine. If you're looking to reduce pain and avoid surgery, this might be the solution for you. Get back to the activities you love without surgery with regenerative medicine. Regenerative medicine is a non-surgical orthopedic procedure for joint pain, arthritis, and injuries. If you want to learn more about regenerative medicine and if this might be the solution for you so that you can avoid those surgeries and continue to get back to the activities you love operating at full capacity, go to NWC4RM.com. Regardless of where you are in the country, you can book your appointment there and do an online consultation so that you can see if this is the right fit for you. Receive a free info packet by going to NWC4RM.com and just entering your email, and you will receive more information to learn more. All right, let's head back to the episode. Obviously, you're an expert in this, but I wanted to ask a little bit about that. Have you seen, like, I want to talk about the mental game and component of this. Feel free to take this question wherever you want to take it, but what is, like, when you train with athletes, because you've run all of these races, and I want to ask you about some of the other ones. You also train a lot of other people how to do this too. So what is that, like, mental training look like? Is there, like, when people are training for ultras, like, are you just doing physical training, or like, what is it, like, a holistic plan? Like, what does all of it look like, and what are the things that you help coach your athletes through?
Yeah. And I wanted to say, like, kudos to you for, like, the marathon out there too, because you nailed it on the head. I mean, it's such a good example of, like, the mind is so much powerful than the body, right? Yes, of course.
I was hurting afterwards. Exactly. I was like, I'm never doing that again. But yeah.
Yeah.
Without training, not without, yeah.
Yeah. And listen, yeah, it's like, obviously, like, the training is helpful and stuff like that. But although I always don't advise it, I do always appreciate these stories because, like, it just shows that it's more mental than physical. Like, I've seen so many times, like, where, you know, I look at someone, like, I've had friends who are just way fit. They, like, are just, like, hitting splits, like, no tomorrow. Like, they're just rocking their training, doing so well. And then they get in the middle of a race, and there's people who maybe did less training, not being as fit, just totally smoke them, or they didn't even finish the race because they didn't have that mental game and that mental fortitude to make it through. So it's like, to bring it back to your question, yes, like, I, as an ultra marathon athlete, you can't just train someone in the physical side. You have to train at the mental side, because I always say, like, especially if you're running something that's longer the distance, right? 50 miles, 100 miles, even 200 miles at that point, like, the first half is run with your body, the second half is run with your mind. And so, because listen, there is zero chance that anyone's coming out of those 50 miles. It can be possible, but like 100 miles and above, your legs are going to be sore, like, at some point. And, like, it's up to you in those moments to really understand, like, how you're going to push through it. Not only do your legs get sore, I mean, like, your legs get sore after all those miles, but here's the thing too, the longer the distance is, the more time you have. And when there's more time, there's more things that are inevitably going to go wrong. So I think the thing that people also don't think about ultras is there's so many unexpected things, right? Maybe you get this blister you never had before. Maybe your stomach gets a little upset. Like, maybe the terrain at that day was just like a crazy rainstorm and you hadn't prepared for any of that stuff because it was the first time they had rain in years, right? Like, all this stuff happened in these ultra marathons, and like, that screws people up too, because it's like, you're hurting and then all of a sudden, like, you have this plan and it goes like completely sideways, and it's like, how do you pivot in those moments? So there's usually, like, the thing that I always like to do to train athletes mentally is, first and foremost, is like, get them really tapped into like the reason why they're doing this. And we hear this a lot, like, know your why, know, like, this thing too. But I'm telling you this, like, in those moments that are just so painful, if you have a reason to keep going, you'll get it. I'll tell you an example, even from the most recent race that I did. So I did a race called URAE 100. It's one of the hardest 100 milers in the US. It's got 42,000 feet of elevation gain. You're never below 8,000 feet of altitude. Like, there's lightning storms. Like, I mean, it's just like, it is a crazy race. And we're at mile 60. I'm at mile 60. And I see this guy and I start talking with him, and I said, hey, like, you know, like, why are you doing this race? I always love to hear, like, why people are doing this race. And he tells me, he's like, like, you know, I just thought it was cool. Like, you know, I thought it was cool. I thought it would be fun. Like, I'm out of here. I was like, oh, okay. Like, interesting. Like, that's awesome, man. Like, great. And then down the trail, I meet another guy and I ask him the same question. I said, like, hey, like, why are you doing this? He goes, you know, like, my daughter, she has special needs. She struggles every day. She's always in pain. She's always just doubting herself of what she can do. But she always looks at me and says, Daddy, because you do these races, I know I can keep going every day. And I was like, whoa. Now, which guy you think finished the race and which guy you think didn't finish the race? I think it's pretty obvious on there. And so in the end of the day, right, even just hearing, like, me talk about that, I even get emotional just hearing that. Mm-hmm. And you can only imagine what's going through that guy's head when he thinks about that, right? So you got to find a reason that's bigger than the pain to keep you going forward. Because if your why is stronger than the hurt that you're going through in the moment, then you can overcome anything. So anytime I'm working with an athlete, I always say, like, what's the reason why you're doing this? What's that why? What's that deep thing? Not just because it's cool, not just because it's fun, not just because you want to push yourself. Like, what is the thing that actually gets you going? Because in the moment, right? Quote from Viktor Frankl, dude who went through a concentration camp and literally saw his whole family die and everything like that. He made it through the whole thing, you know, he claims because of his mindset, but he says, you know, he who has a strong why can bear anyhow. And I think that that thing runs so true in ultra marathon. So the first thing is getting clear on that person's why and really just digging deep and asking questions onto that as well. Secondly, it's like, how do we put them in situations that are hard in their training, especially the things that scare the crap out of them to get there? So if I'm working with an athlete, I had a call with an athlete today and I said, hey, you know, they're racing their first 100 miler. And I said, what are the things that really scare you about this? And they go, well, like, I'm just really scared about just being out there for a long time. And I don't know, like, where, like, I don't know how my mind and body's going to feel. Great. I'm also scared about running in the night. I'm like, okay, great. So what we're going to do is we're going to put you on this long run that's going to be for 5 hours long. It's probably going to be it's the longest that they've ever ran time on feet. And we're going to do it in the nighttime as well. So you conquer the two things at once. So the whole goal there is that they go through that. It's going to be hard. It's going to be scary. They're going to be terrified. But when they get through that at the end, they realize, oh, I've done this thing. I've done this thing. Like, oh my gosh, like, I can actually do it. Because a lot of the reason why confidence exists confidence is not just something you can get by just shouting affirmations in the mirror. It's 100%. Not looking in the mirror and be like, I can do this. I'm amazing. I can run an ultra. No, because what happens is your brain goes, BS, you can't do it. And then you don't follow through. Confidence is built by doing the actions to be who you are in that person. It's like, how do I create those experiences in their training so they can have real confidence so that when they say, I can do this, they have the evidence to back it up to say that they can do it and push through. And so it's trying to like build those things. It's not just like hyping them up and just like giving them like these mantras and stuff. It's like, I want to show you, you can do it.
You got to prove it to yourself.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Well, and not to to interrupt you really quickly, I think the component that comes to mind when you're talking about this as well is, okay, and if you do fail, which will inevitably happen at some point, like seeing that like you face your biggest fear or like your worst case scenario happens and you're still okay afterwards and you can try again, like to me is like a huge component of it. It's like confidence is not that I'll never fail it's not knowing that I'll never fail, but it's knowing that even if I do, I can find a way to get back up and do it again. And what's the worst, like a lot of times when I'm thinking about overcoming my own fears, I'm like, what's my biggest fear with my business? What's my biggest fear in my personal life? Or like, I think to take this in another route, that's like very applicable for everyone listening. It's like, okay, like if your biggest fear is like heartbreak, like in a relationship, like that might prevent you from like trying, right? But at the end of the day, it's like realizing that even if the worst thing happens, like you can pick yourself up and like you'll be okay again. Like even if the worst happens and you have an injury, like you can pick yourself up and like find a way to heal. Like it's building that resilience that only comes through failure. That I was just thinking about that while you were talking. I'm sorry for interrupting. Keep going. But yeah.
No, it's a great point like you mentioned too, because that's the thing too. Like sometimes I do have athletes go out on these things and then they do maybe not get there, right? Like they say, like, I ran for 4 hours and I couldn't make it to 5 because my mind just quit out. And I'm like, great, that's awesome. And they're like, yeah, that's awesome. I'm like, awesome. Now we know we have this piece of information that we can do to get better on. So when you do go to the race, you can go better. So like I get stoked, not just when my athletes fail, but like I'm stoked when we find things in these. And that's what training is. Like training is not supposed to be performance. It's supposed to be this thing where we like perform and learn and get better in things. So even if they fail in those situations, right? If they fail, then it's like, okay, great. Like what went through your mind that caused you to not keep going forward? Was it a negative thought? Was it a limiting belief? Was it something like, what do we got to do to dissect it? Was it nutrition? Did your stomach go bad? Like what are the things that are there? And it's like, great. Okay. Now we know what we need to do. And guess what? Now we have like 6 weeks until this race. Let's try it again on the next week and see what happens after that. And we fine tune it. And hey, maybe it doesn't work again. Well, then we can find out on the next one as well. It's keep trying to iterate those things, because the goal isn't to nail it like on the bat. If you can, great. Awesome. You got that building block. But can you at least get something that's going to move you forward? Like there's no such thing as losses. There's only lessons. And so it's either you win or you learn. And like, that's it. And I think that's just a beautiful thing of the process. And I'll tell you this, like, you know, I've been doing this for years and years and years. I ran over 20 races. Like I've had experiences, but every single time I run a race, I always learn something new. I always do. And that's like the beauty of the journey of life in general, is like, you always learn something. And like, I think when you get to the point, like, and you understand that, like, not only does like you get better just from learning those things, but failure becomes less painful because you get excited about it. And like the equation that I always like kind of like think about all the time, not just in ultra marathons in life, but it's pain plus reflection equals progress.
So good.
And so like when you have the pain and you can reflect on it, that's going to give you progress. See, the problem is people face pain and they don't reflect on it. They just say, well, today wasn't my day, or well, you know, the cards were stacked against me, or, you know, hey, like, you know, I just can't do it. But then you reflect on it and say like, well, maybe if I ate a little bit more often out there, I'd probably feel a little better. Maybe if I actually was a little bit more consistent with my training, then maybe I can get there. Maybe if I actually just really refine my why, I think it could be a little bit more powerful. And then the next time you go out for that race and you get it done, that's progress. And so that's what I would say. Failure is an essential part of the process.
Yeah. And it's not an excuse to quit. I think that's the other part, is like when we fail, we're like, see, I confirmed my limiting beliefs. I'm done. It's like, no, it showed me where my limiting beliefs are so I can fix it. I love all of what you said. And you seem like an incredible coach. We're definitely going to have to give people, if you guys definitely go to his Instagram, Do you have a website, or is the best place for people to contact you Instagram? If best someone's place, listening and they're like,
best place is Instagram. And then I also have an email, everydayultrapodcast@gmail.com. That's usually the best place to reach out for coaching. But yeah, thank you so much
for that. And your podcast, definitely go check it out, guys. I mean, I could listen to you talk for hours. I wanted to quickly ask you, kind of going along these lines, do you remember your hardest moment in your race, from any race that you've run?
Yeah, it's a good question. It was actually May of this year, so May of 2024. So I ran the Kokodona 250 miles. So this is 250 miles. It goes all the way from Phoenix, Arizona to Flagstaff, Arizona. So it's like this huge race. It's the longest race I'd ever done. I'd never done anything even remotely over 100 miles at that point. And it was a huge, huge race. Now, at this point, I'm over here like talking about like how you can like be in like think about your mind and think about the thoughts and circumnavigate it and go back to the things and almost like be in control of your mind. The hardest part for me in any single race was at this race, it was mile 180, mind you, like 180 out of 250. So I still got like, 70 miles to go or something like that. Right. So
casual.
So it was a long way to go. And at this point, like, by the way, like, I mean, I slept 3 hours the entire time. And at this point, I'd slept about an hour, maybe less. And so at this point, I'm sleep deprived. And
into the race is this?
Like, oh, gosh, this is like, oh, this. So this was the, let's see, we'd gone through night one, night two. This is going into the third night. So, yeah, I mean, I finished it in 86 hours, so that would probably be like, I don't know, 50-ish hours or so, like 50-ish hours. I mean, like it's deep in there. Yeah, this is the third night being out there. And I just remember like my mind was all over the place. Like 1 second I would be incredibly like upset and like crying, and then 1 second I'd be really angry, and then 1 second I'd be like happy, and then 1 second I'd be just neutral, and then 1 second I would be like completely just anxious. Like my brain was all over the place. Now, yes, of course, if you ran 180 miles and you're sleep deprived and like all of a sudden you start thinking about like, cold, like it is hard. And I remember it was a very scary moment for me, because honestly, that was like before I got sober, I truly believe that I wasn't in control of my mind. And like, that was a very, disempowering kind of place to be, right? When you believe you don't have control of your mind, like, it's like, that's a really crazy thing. And that was the first time since I had gotten off of drugs where like, I literally thought that I wasn't in control of my mind at that point. Yeah. And it shocked me. And I was like, and I was trying to do all these techniques and things and trying to, but my mind wouldn't turn off. Like it would still,
I mean, you're 180 miles into a race, like multiple days, like I can imagine that wears you down. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's just there. And that's when I made the realization. I was like, wait a second, I'm this far in the race. I'm trying to get this stuff to go away.
Ooh,
maybe it doesn't go away. Like maybe it just sucks and that's okay. But that doesn't mean I have to stop. And that's when I made the realization that, hey, you know, it's going to suck. It's going to feel hard. You don't have to feel good. You don't have to quiet that negative voice. Mm-hmm. You don't have to like be peachy keen and put a smile on your face, but you just got to keep going. And once I stopped trying to push away the pain and I just accepted it and just said, here it is today. But at the same time, I'm not going to use this as an excuse to have me slow down or not even enjoy the moment or anything like that. I know I can do this. And I will tell you this, every step from that until the end was painful. I was sleep deprived. It was hard, but I felt a lot more confident in myself because I knew I could be okay not being okay. And that was honestly one of the biggest things, because I had thought that you had to be very positive and I thought you had to like quash those negative thoughts. And I thought you always had to have a smile on your face, to, like be successful at these things. But it's like, it's not the person who feels good. It's the person who can feel like crap and accept it and not try and fight it away and still move forward in that moment. And let me tell you, like, I mean, even just on a personal level, like my father, like unexpectedly at a young age, like passed like in November of last year. He was my best friend, like literally happened like out of nowhere. I talked to him 2 days before. Thank you. Appreciate it. And, you know, honestly, that lesson helps me because, listen, some days are hard. You look at the thing that reminds you of him and things like that, too. And it's really, really hard. But I know that I can keep moving and it's okay to not be okay. I tried to get away from that, like in ultras, and try to like focus it around feeling good, but it's not trying to focus around feeling good. It's trying to focus on managing and getting by, even if you don't feel as good.
There is so much gold in everything that you just said. Do you by chance follow the Hermosis and like listen to them?
Yeah, oh my gosh. I'm a huge Alec Hermosi fan. Oh yeah.
I am as well, and I feel like I'm hearing so much of like what they preach a lot, like in even what you're saying in your mindset of like it's not about feeling good. Like, or I feel like so often we put things in the categories and like labels of like, it's good to feel this way and it's bad to feel this way. And it's like, what if it's just like, not every feeling we feel is true. And it's like, you can feel like shit and you can keep going. Like, like that is just so powerful. And like you said, it's first of all, it's not realistic. It's not even healthy. And it's not useful to constantly try to like lie yourself out of a state that you're in, because life is hard. And like these, like, things that happen are real, you know, and it's not about evading them, but it's realizing that it doesn't have to hold that power over you. And anyway, there's just so much gold. If you're listening, rewind 2 minutes and re-listen to that. But no, that's incredible. So you've talked so much about like having a why and how important that is. And then talked some about mindset and like your hardest moment. But at this point, you've accomplished more than most people can have accomplished in their lives, and like that is no joke. Running a 250-mile race is like superhuman status. So at this point, what's your why? Like why do you keep going? Why do you keep doing it? It's like you've proved to yourself that you can do it. What's your why now?
Yeah, and I appreciate all the kind words too. And my biggest why is like I always think back to that version that I was before all of this, right? Like you said, like, and I appreciate the kind words, but all the time that people look at like all the things I've accomplished now, finishing 200-mile race, like all this stuff, right? Like to see all this stuff as well. But the thing that like I always remember is like the kid who didn't do all that stuff. Like the kid, like I mentioned before, who was picked on all the time, who like didn't have an athletic bone in his body, but most importantly, who didn't believe in himself. I think about that kid inside of me all the time that, you know, never really gave himself a chance and thought life was hopeless and had to go towards drugs to feel any sort of type of fleeting happiness in his life because he thought that was the only answer. I think about that often. And I think about how so many people, there are unfortunately people out there who feel that very, very same way, not just kids, but people, right? Who feel that very, very same way. And I remember the thing that helped me the most was, you know, to be honest, like picking up these books and reading and seeing people do it. I truly believe if I did not pick up those books, if I did not see the people that were doing it, if I did not like expose myself to that, I don't think I would have ever actually taken the steps that I needed to do to get to where I need to be. And I think about that in those moments, like when I'm in a really hard place. I can tell you this, like there was the past race that I just talked about, the URA 100. I did it like a few weeks ago and super hard race. I thought it was even harder than the 250 miler. And I was at mile 60. And by the way, I mean, I just you know, not to harp on this thing too, but I think it's relevant to share. Like at the time, like, you know, from my father passing away, there's been like a lot of like legal things and family drama and just like, basically like my whole life has just changed. And it's led to a lot of just stress outside of work and running and things like that, like constantly.
Well, the grief. Yeah, there's so much.
Yeah, there's just so much going through my mind. And being in that moment, it was mile 60. I was already been out there for 24 hours. It was pouring rain. It was just so hard. My knee, I twisted it like earlier in the race and I thought like my meniscus was torn and it was like hurting with every step. And at that point I was like, God, like, I don't even know if I should be out here too. And then I think about, and I asked myself this one question. I was like, what's the example that you want to set? And that question, I asked that question, not what's the example I want to set for myself. What's the example I want to have for the people I know who are tracking me on this race, for the people who I know are going to see this story, for the people I know who maybe aren't in the best place and they follow me on Instagram and see it. I mean, like, it's so amazing, like, and special. And this is something that I always tell people when they're posting content, like, even if you get no likes or no comments or anything like that, I guarantee you there's someone watching that. Someone's and you watching. Have no idea. You have no idea, but you're watching that. Like, and I'm sure you get this the same way. You have people reach out and they're like, I've been following you for years. And you're like, what the hell? Like, I had no freaking idea. You
you never know who you're impacting.
Exactly. So in my why is in those moments to be the person that can inspire anyone to get out of that hard place, to do the hard things, to be the person that they want to become. And wherever they are now, whether that's they want to become a runner and they haven't run a mile yet, whether that's they want to start a business, but they've never left corporate America, whether they want to, you know, be a loving like father or wife, and maybe they have a divorce or anything like that, right? It's like you can learn to be whoever the heck you want to be as long as you're willing to push through it and do the work to get there. And in those moments, I always ask myself, what example you want to set? And that's the one. And I will tell you, I've never dropped from a race. I've never like given up out of a race too. And I'm not just saying that to be like, oh yeah, look at me, like I'm awesome, because it might happen one day. Like I will pull out of a race if like my life's in danger or if like I'm a serious injury, like I will. But yeah, like I will tell you, like I've never like done it because I've given up. And I don't think that's anything for me. I just think like that reason,
it's
like
a decision you've made.
Like if anyone tells me that, like in any situation, like I will never take the easy road, because like I know that that why is way deeper, and I know the impact of maybe even like knowing that I can at least change one person's life through that measly decision that I make in a race that I consciously chose to sign up for and I paid to be there for. If I can get through that, then maybe hopefully I can inspire someone to get through a harder situation, and that will keep me.
What an empowering like mentality too, because like I think what sometimes we don't think about is the alternative of believing that we're victims to life and that everything happens to us. Like yeah, maybe it's comforting because our brains aren't wired to help us progress and move forward. Our brains are wired to keep us comfortable. It's like even if that comfort is misery, like if that's what we're used to, and like that is the I'm reading a book right now about self-sabotage, and it talks so much about how like our baseline isn't necessarily like what's meant, like trying to keep us happy. Our baseline is trying to keep us in what we've always known. So if what we've always known is sadness, we're going to look out situations to that confirm that. If all we've ever known is failure, we're going to look at situations that confirm that. And so a lot of times like progress forward feels so terrible on the inside. Like sometimes like the anxiety that we feel is the price we're paying for like changing our lives until like we readjust that new baseline. But like what an empowering like why, and what an empowering mindset that you're giving, because it's like because believing like yes, life is hard, yes, many things happen to us that are unfair, like yes, but like it doesn't, how does that help me move forward? And it's like taking ownership of that and realizing that like I have a choice, and I am in control of my own future. Like that is such an empowering mindset, and your story is just incredible. Like I'm just so inspired listening. But Joe, what would you tell people listening who are like, you know, I may not be ready to run an ultra, but they're like, I want to, like, from if someone listening today forgot like everything that we're talking about, but they wanted to implement one small change into their life, like what is that first step that you would recommend for people to take to get out of their comfort zone and do hard things?
Yeah, I love this question. And I think this is something that really helped me in the days is like, you know, I think a lot of people will just like take this answer and say like, do the work. But here's the thing, right? Like you got to go back to that like emotional resonance in there. But even just like outside of just having the reason and everything, you got to have like a vision for what you want. So many, like when I was like going through like everything I was going through, I was just like, oh, okay. Like I have to make a lot of money. Great. Like I have to go through and have like a job. Awesome. Like I studied finance in college because I thought money was like the key to everything. And like, I wanted to be super rich and be on Wall Street. And then I got on Wall Street and I got the money and I was like, what the hell? I'm still miserable. Like what the heck is the point? And so, but my point is this is like a lot of people just kind of like aimlessly go through life, or they take whatever society says that you should have or should do or should deem as success. And that's what they think the path is. But the reality is like, we have the ability to create a vision for our life. And this is even like, doesn't have to be ultra marathons or anything like that. Like this can be like any, like I want like a vision for your life. Like, where do you want to be in 20 years? Like, where do you want to be? And the most empowering thing, like I did even before I took that run, even before I, you know, started to like get sober and everything, I literally wrote down like where I wanted to be in 20 years. I wanted to be sober. I wanted to have a family. I wanted to like have a successful business. I wanted to be an ultra marathon runner. Like that's what I want to do. I wanted to feel fulfilled. I wanted to feel happy my life. I wanted to live somewhere that I enjoyed being, because I hated New York. Nothing against New York, but I just did not like it. Not for
not
me.
Not a city person.
not for me. Hey, listen, yeah. Great place to visit. Not for me to live. Like, uh-huh. I'm not bashing. Hey, I'm New York pride all the way. I will take that to the grave, but I just don't want to like live there. But I wrote all this stuff down and I would sit and I would visualize it. I would visualize that thing in my mind and really like make it real. Like not just sit there and think about it. I mean, like literally put myself in the moment. And when you do that, you not only like get yourself like emotionally invested into it too, but think about it like this, like, anytime like you see something, your brain's going to orient to it. It's kind of like what you said before, like how the brain's going to orient to like, you know, if all you see is sadness, it's going to go to sadness. Now, if you have a vision for your life and you think about it every day, I mean, I every morning, like I would wake up and I would just take 5 minutes and just have my vision and just like think about it. And when you do that, it becomes easier to go to the things that you want it. Because here's like another thing too, that I always like say too, is like, you know, like, I'll get like, what's a food that you've never had before in your life? I'll ask you a question. Like, what's a food you've never had before?
Like squid. I've never had squid.
Squid. Okay. You never had squid. Like, have you ever craved squid in your entire life? Have you ever been like, oh, I'm going to have, I would love to have squid.
No, not a single time.
Right. And the reason why is because you've never had it before. We only crave the things that we've had at one point in our life. So how do you crave your vision? It's you visualize it. Because our brain can't distinguish what's real and what's in our mind. That's actually psychological fact. You look it up, there's actually a lot of things on there. So if you can do that, then you build this crave, you build this desire, you build this burning passion to go and get the thing done. And a lot of people say like, yeah, like doing the work, but this makes it easier to do the work. Not saying it's always going to be easy, because it is going to be hard, but like having a vision and direction for your life and orienting yourself to that and feeling it to your emotional core, that will change it. Because in the end of the day, like the decision becomes easy. Are you going to work out or not? Well, does it lead to my vision? Yes. Well, hell yeah, I'm going to go work out, right? Not saying you're going to feel like that every day, but even when it's hard, right? It gets hard and you're like, wait, is it going to lead me to my vision? Yeah, that's way more exciting than just me like wanting to like watch Netflix in the moment. So I'm going to go do it. So the number one thing I would say everyone do, define a vision for your life. Where do you want to be in 20 years? What are the sights you're seeing? Where are you living? How are you feeling? Like, who are you with? Like, what's the thing you're doing? Like, how do you feel? Like, and really like ingrain it into your like subconscious system as like the best as you possibly can. I know I'm probably sounding like I'm a little woo-woo here, but like, I think like that's where it starts. Like, if you don't have a vision, you're not going to know where to go. Because, and there's a quote that I heard once. It's like, if you don't know where you're going, you might as well go anywhere, right? I think that's from Alice in Wonderland, I think, which is, I think that's where that's from. But anyways, it's so true. And like, it doesn't matter. The daily actions don't matter if you don't have a vision. So start with the vision and the actions will fall into place.
So good. Well, and from what I'm hearing you say, it's like, it works the same and vice versa. Like if your brain can't distinguish your thoughts from real life, like when you're telling your, like stop the negative self-talk, like stop telling yourself like, I'm not a runner, I'm not an athlete, like your brain's believing that stuff.
Yes.
So be careful how you speak to yourself, because it, and I'm a firm believer in everything you just said, because I mean, again, like we talked about earlier, just like when you look into psychology and like it matters, you know? So like that 5 minutes in the morning can make a massive difference in like the actions that you're going to take throughout the day. So not woo-woo at all. Like it's just how it works. And if you, I mean, you can look at the science if you want to, or just look at the examples of like, I feel like every person who's achieved, who's broken their own barriers and achieved more in life can attest to having first done the work mentally or in the process. Like if you don't, it's who you evolve to be as you do the hard things. So good. Like I enjoyed our conversation so much, Joe. Like, thank you so much for taking an hour out of your day to do this with us. And for our listeners who are listening, can you spell out like all of your platforms one more time, where they can find you, your own podcast, give us all the stuff. Cause I'm sure there's going to be so many people who are going to want to, hear more from you.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me on. Like, this is such an awesome conversation. You're a great host. Like, seriously, like, this was such a pleasure. So the honor is all mine. And thank you for asking, too, about that. So I'm most active on Instagram. So I'm just Joe Corcione on Instagram. Where most of my content comes out is the podcast. So it's Everyday Ultra. Now, I know we talked a lot about mindset and stuff, and we do talk about it on the podcast, but the podcast also talks about running. So if you are interested in, you know, learning about running too and mindset, it's a good place to go. We have episodes every week, and it's just one of my favorite pastimes for sure. So if you ever want to listen to me ramble a little bit more about running stuff, that's where you can find me there. And if you listen to this and you're like, dang, I want to do an ultra, which like, I mean,
you should
listen, like, I think it's so funny, and whether or not this is kosher or not, but I think like a lot of people like talk about like getting healing and like vision quests, mm-hmm. like mushrooms and taking that stuff. Mm-hmm, I'm like, hey, like you might as well just run an ultra because like
you'll start seeing things.
Yeah, you will. I mean, I've seen like my share of plenty of weird things out there, but you do go through the spiritual journey. So anyways, if you are interested and you're looking for someone to help, you can either work with me or my amazing coaches on my team. And you can just email everydayultrapodcast@gmail.com. Let me know that, you know, you want to, you know, work on getting your ultra and what you're looking to do. And we have no requirements. Like we work with everybody. We work with anyone who's just getting started to even elite athletes. Like we will take anybody as long as they're willing to, you know, be
put in the work.
Right. And so, which I know, like if you listen to, you know, the whole hour and 3 minutes of this podcast at this point, like you're putting in the work. So all that being said, you can reach out there and and would love to connect if anyone had any questions.
I know. I feel like there's so much like there's so many different facets to this. I mean, we didn't even talk about training, nutrition, most of this was just mindset. But I feel like I could talk to you for hours. I have like so many questions, and you have so many experiences probably just within these races that I'd be so curious about. But if you guys are listening to this podcast and you have questions that you want to hear us ask experts of whoever in their field, whether it's a doctor or a person or a field of exercise or field of wellness, be sure to DM us at Rare Wellness Podcast. And it would mean the world to us if you left us a review and you share this with a friend. That's all that we ask, so that we can continue to provide you with free, valuable knowledge from the experts of well-being. And we'll see you guys next Friday on the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. And don't forget to send in your questions. Bye.